chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm excited to have Jeremy Kubicek on the show today. Jeremy is executive chairman at Giant Worldwide, a serial entrepreneur and a best-selling author. Jeremy Kubicek, I am so delighted to have you on the Something Extra podcast today. Thank you so much for making the time.
Are you kidding me? Super excited, Lisa. I love what you're doing and just thrilled to be here.
Yes. Well, I tell you what I decided this morning, I'm like, one podcast is not going to capture Jeremy Kubicek. So what I really am hoping our listeners make it one of their 2024 goals to go and get your books, to find out more about Giant, to follow you. You've got great content out there.
Thank you.
I'm just delighted. So I have to give a shout out to our friend, Laura Scheidhauer. And I think Laura, and I can't remember, do you call it change agents or facilitators?
We call them a guide. She's a coach and a consultant. And okay. We have about 975 coaches, consultants in the Giant world. And she's amazing. She's one of them.
She is. And she's a dear friend of mine. And she asked me, she goes, Lisa, do you know Jeremy? And I said, I don't. And so she connected us. So I was so excited. And I told you in a sidebar conversation, after you and I first met, I was so excited about what you were doing. I was excited about Giant. And immediately did what all good spouses do and went and told Greg all about you, my husband. And Greg's like, Lisa, I've met Jeremy, and Greg took our grandson Sawyer to the father-son camp at Canicock this past summer, and Greg said that you and your son came and spoke, and so he met you before I did, but he was really excited to hear that you were coming on the show.
Greg's awesome. I really, really, and Sawyer, love meeting them.
Yeah, it's a small world. It's really a small world, Jeremy. Yeah. So I'm going to just read a little bit for our listeners. I just want you to understand who we're talking to, and we're going to try our best to dig into as much of the good stuff as we can during this podcast. But again, my hope is that you will be so intrigued that you will go and you will follow Jeremy and make it one of your 2024 goals to read some of his books. But Jeremy's an entrepreneur with an emphasis on transformational leadership. You know, he has his hobbies, he said, is focusing on starting companies. And we're going to talk about that because you've either started, founded, or been a part of, partnered with 25 plus companies, which just makes my head spin, that impact people at both the head and the heart level. Here is some of the things that Jeremy has done. He's co-authored with Steve Cochran, which is one of your friends and also the co-founder of Giant, right? Two books, mm-hmm. 5 Gears, How to Be Present and Productive When There Is Never Enough Time, 5 Voices, Discover Your Voice, Build Your Team, Change Your World, best-selling author of Making Your Leadership Come Alive. I know you are also the author of 100X Leader, co-founder of Giant, creator of LeaderCast Global Simulcast, partner in several current startup organizations, former CEO over the National Catalyst Conferences, former CEO over John Maxwell brand. I know that our listeners will recognize that brand. Developer at the Prairie Post. I want to talk about that. That sounds mm-hmm. like a really special place that you did with Kelly. Mm-hmm. And then your latest book, The Communication Code, which is just fantastic. I think that one just released right in November.
That's right. Yep.
So brand new, hot off the press, been Amazon number one bestseller. So I'm hoping that we can dig into a couple of these things. But the another thing that I figured out about as Jeremy that I did not know, you're in YPO.
Yeah, I'm a YPO guy. I've been 12, 15 years, somewhere in there. So,
yeah. So I am too. I've been in YPO, I think, since about 2006. Okay. So, nice. But you're in the Oklahoma chapter and I'm in the St. Louis chapter. So our paths hadn't crossed, but I did figure that out about you, which is really cool. You're in Oklahoma City, married to Kelly, you've got three grown children, Addison, Will, and Kate. And do you live on a family farm?
We own a family farm with my parents, 104 years old. We built a wedding venue and an event center on it. And it's Kelly runs that as well. But we built a neighborhood called the Prairie and Edmond, which is just north Oklahoma City. And when we were living in London and we moved back from London back to Oklahoma City, and which is hometown, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. It sounds like a really special place. And when I was, it's kind of like modern, you built 21 homes, I think.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So kind of modern farmhouse. And what I immediately thought of, Jeremy, I'm like, well, Kelly and Jeremy are like Chip and Joanna.
That's what people state. My wife is really talented, but she doesn't want to be on TV. It's so funny. Or she doesn't want to do podcasts. I'm like, Kelly, you're so good at it, but that's just not her wiring. But yeah, she's pretty amazing in what she does. And together, we just envision things. I'm like, you know what? Who says we can't? And that's kind of a motto of our family. And so we have a number of different businesses in our family. At the age of 15 in our family, you had to start a company. So our kids had to start businesses at 15. And so now they've had several companies. And so then my son, he's involved in three startups. My oldest daughter has one. My youngest daughter's graduating. She's had a couple that she's started and built. And so she's contemplating one right now. So that's kind of the way that it works just in our family. It's kind of, I asked them at an early age, do you want to be a job creator or have a job? And you can decide. It doesn't matter. And I'll support you either way. And our youngest is probably going to go get a job, which is great, and which most people do, but she's very open to starting things as well. And we just wanted our kids to know there's no inhibitions there.
Mm-hmm. Well, who knows? She may be an entrepreneur. She may be entrepreneurial wherever she lands.
And she is very much so. Yeah.
We need those people too, Jeremy? So
absolutely.
Always. So, tell me a little bit more about growing up. I mean, you are an entrepreneur through and through.
Yeah, I've had started and done a lot in my days. And my dad was a major influencer, but he was a farmer and he had done a lot of things. And we had owned flower shops and rent houses and all these different things, as well as a farm. And so I had that ingrained early in me of like, who says you can't? And, you know, just figure things out, right? And which is, I love the fabric of entrepreneurship in American culture. It's like, well, you figure it out. It's called ingenuity. And so then I went to college and I went to the small little liberal arts school and I had a professor and he said, Jeremy, you're an entrepreneur. Why don't you use business as a platform for good? Why don't you use it to influence people? And I'm like, how do I do that? So he apprenticed me. I went to Asia for a term. And then I went and started with some other partners. We started a few companies in Moscow. We started an economic school. We started a marketing consulting business and an accounting training company. And we did some work in Brazil and Russia. And I was living in Moscow for 2 years. And it was just kind of this, okay, this is the real life, you know. And I lived above a mafia group. I had a client assassinated. I was in a coup attempt. I had crazy stories. Those are all in Making Your Leadership Come Alive. And that was my first bestseller. And it was Wall Street Journal bestseller. And it was all these stories of living in a really hard place. And I got to the point where I started to see the world and started to quantify in these visual tools. And one of the tools is called the Support Challenge Matrix. And the idea is that you can have high support and you can have high challenge. But the best leaders in the world bring high support and high challenge. But the Russian world was challenge, high challenge, no support. So it created a dominating culture over 70 years. And I got to see what 70 years of communism did to the people. It made them apathetic. It made them abdicate to the power hungry and the strong man in that regard. And so they were always held, you know, they were never empowered. They were only compliant at best. So I started taking some of those learnings, and that's a big part of what I do at Giant is some cultures have a dominating culture. Some family cultures are dominating. Some work cultures are dominating, and they create compliance. They don't create engagement. And so I just started taking my experiences in life and started putting tools and concepts and books together that now companies around the world use.
Yeah. Fascinating. I did not know that. I do not have that book. I have a lot of your books, as you have seen. Yeah, but I don't have that one. So now I want to get that one too. Well, yeah, we don't have a lot of time to dig into everything, but I know that you did co-found Giant in 2002 with Steve. And tell our listeners a little bit about Giant, the mission, the vision, what, you know, and you are now, you're still involved in Giant. You're the executive chair.
Yeah, yeah. And founder. Yeah, I started the company early on, and actually Steve joined us in 2013, but I started it early with this idea of like, Giant stands for David, not Goliath. And the idea is humility, not pride. And what had happened, Lisa, is that I had worked in private equity. I'd bought 17 companies with a private equity group, rolled them together in 3 years. I'd lost my hair during that time period. stress was unbelievable. I had worked, I had 3 dot-coms that I started and then had the dot-com bust happened. And then in 2002, this is probably, this will tell you if you're a listener, what my motive is based on this story. In 2002, my wife and I went to Cancun, Mexico to go take a vacation before the startup. And we get there and we get trapped by a hurricane. And the Hurricane Isidore Category 3 was coming right to Cancun. So we were literally driving to our hotel to get in and hunker down for the night. And we got hit by a drunk driver who was joyriding in a hurricane and crushed the side of the car. My sternum popped out about 12 inches. I had, I broke 9 ribs, 6 snapped. I was severed intestines. I was paralyzed from the waist down, bruised every organ. And I'm in the car and I get to basically the end of my life. And I was 30 years old at the time. In my 20s, I'd just done a lot. I'd lived a lot of places. I'd created a lot of companies. I'd done very, very, very ambitious. But I also probably had some of the human pride, you know, and pride is always, it's in everything. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, I got hit. I had a chance. I was in the car 45 minutes, about 20 minutes in, I realized I'm not going to make it. And I have my end of life conversation with God. And it was like, you know, and before, I won't go into it. It's too long the story to tell you, but basically I said, God, was I your man? Was I a good husband? Or was I a good dad? And those are the only 3 things I could think of. I didn't think about any of my businesses, none of that. And I'm breathing my last breath. I got to see my life flash before my eyes. I look up at Kelly and she has no idea because I can't talk of what I was thinking. And she looks over me and she goes, I know, but I want you to know you are God's man. You are a great husband and a great dad. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you just say that? And I breathe my last breath and I'm gone. And I was gone 3-4 minutes. We don't really know. And when I was gone, I mean, I'm floating above the car. I'm like slow fade, total peace, no pain. And that was it. And through a number of miracles, things that happened over the next 7 days, we had the craziest things. And it reshaped my entire worldview, my entire life. And we had started the company with a big GIANT. Well, I came back and we squashed the I. We made the I small. And giant stands for David, not Goliath. Stands for humility, not pride. And so what happened to me in Cancun is I basically got the pride knocked out of me. And I've been working in this idea of how do you do big things in a humble way? How do you do significant things without trying to be somebody? Which is so hard. And that's what we've done. So we've just been building and we've bought companies and John Maxwell's assets, and then we sold it back to him, and we created the Catalyst conferences and LeaderCast brand and sold those. And we've just been working towards this idea of like, how do you help 21st century cynical adults become better leaders? And how do you actually help them become more relationally intelligent? And we've just found it. We created visual tools, we created technology, we created systems, and now it's starting to scale. And we're just daily expanding. And we're in about 115 countries now. Google, Microsoft, Pfizer, Biogen, all these different businesses. So that's just a quick story of kind of what we're doing.
I knew something like that. I had read a little bit about your story, Jeremy, but I've never heard you tell the story. And I'm literally fighting back tears. What a story. And it changed your life.
It gave me a new perspective, and it's almost
Perspective.
like my second life. It's like I had my first one, and now I have my second life, right? And I already had a faith component in me, but it was almost like it became real.
Not to get on a tangent here, but we had Rollin Warren on the show recently, and Rollin was ran the Father's Support. He's done a lot of things, but he was telling me about on the podcast, he was telling me about King Herod and Joseph, Jesus's dad. And he said, King Herod was Herod the Great, right? And what he wanted to do was eliminate the threat. Very
Right.
prideful,
Yeah.
very much wanting to be great. Joseph, on the other hand, completely humble, sacrificed
Yeah.
reputation, everything for a child. And he said, who do people still talk about? They
That's
don't
right.
really talk about Herod. They talk about Joseph. So it
That's
just
right.
reminded me of that story. That is, wow, I'm seriously fighting back tears. Well, in 2007, you formed a partnership to purchase John Maxwell's company called Maximum Impact. And you ran that, right? For what, 10
Yeah.
years?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we sold it in 2017. And so I ran it until 2013. And so, but yeah, we had built, I just had helped John move into the training business. We built the training side and kind of just stewarded that company. He had sold it to someone else and we bought it from them and kind of reset it. And then he's had an amazing run. He's taken it to another level. So, yeah. So we work with John, work with Henry Cloud, Pat Lencioni, work with a lot of Jim Collins, Andy Stanley, Craig Rochelle, all those guys back in the day. And it was a very much, the 20th century leadership world was butts in seats, selling books, big events, and then selling books. And that was from 1980 to, let's say, 2015, 16, 17, somewhere in there. That was that run, and very much bullet point and books and lots of content. But our world shifted, and so everything is now visual. And so it's visual, the visual nature. So we started taking all of John's content from traditional CD-ROMs, back in the day, and putting it online and making it more tech. And then we've done the same. So now, though, we realize that most adults, they don't have much time. I mean, I work with University of Oklahoma football team, you have 7 minutes to convey an idea, or you have 20 minutes, this and that. So you just don't have time in this world. So we created visual tools, and a visual could be remembered, and you could write it and draw it on a cocktail napkin and teach somebody else. And when you teach someone else, that's when you learn. So we've taken, even though we write books and we speak still, we've just taken most of our content is in a visual form. And we call them mirrors and lenses. So the mirror is like, hey, Lisa, do you see you have broccoli in your teeth? And I do. Here's where my broccoli is. And we're teaching self-awareness through visual mirrors so that they can actually see it for themselves and change. And when they do, that's when transformation happens because you start to know your tendency, you know your patterns, you know your actions, and you start this journey from self-awareness to behavior change. And when that takes place, other people see that you're willing to change, then they might be willing to change. But the biggest element today, the biggest impediment to leadership is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is what keeps people, well, they told me to do it, but they wouldn't do it themselves. They want me, and that whole hypocrisy is number one, insecurity is number two. So when you deal with insecure people and hypocrisy together, it creates all types of drama. And so we've just created concepts and programs and tools to eliminate that.
Well, we could have a whole conversation on that hypocrisy and the insecurity. We can have a whole conversation on that, but I'm still stuck on broccoli in my teeth, Jeremy, because I did have a business dinner last night and I had broccoli.
Oh my gosh.
But I have brushed my teeth several times since then, so I think I'm safe.
You're
But
good.
yeah. But let me ask you a couple more questions and then we'll take a quick break, and then I want to get into a few of your books. But
Okay.
I know that you formed this Better Holdings, which is kind of a startup factory. That's cool. I mean, give me just a little snippet on that.
Well, I figured out I have a lot of people, and they would ask me, "Hey, we've got this investment. Do you want to invest with me in this and this and this?" And I'm like, "You know what? I create companies. I'm a starter." So I found this concept, a few years ago. It's called a venture studio, and a venture studio is basically instead of investing in other people's business, you build your own businesses. I'm really good at building companies. I've been doing that for since, I was 21 years old. So the venture studio that I have, I've done this a couple of times, but this current one, I basically have multiple companies inside. So Giant is a company. Better is our sports division. We do an athletic director operating system, and it's for ADs and coach performance systems, and it's really, really significant. We work with OU, Mississippi State, Florida State, Louisville, programs like that. And then we have a company called Six Summers, which has taken what I've done for leaders and done with my son for dads. And it's for parents who want to be intentional with their kids between the ages of 13 and 18. So it's how to prepare their kids to launch well. And it's a membership. It's $100 a year. It's super simple. And all of that I'm doing, these are all SaaS technology businesses. So Better is one, Six Summers is one. And then I'm currently working on multiple other businesses that are all ancillary. They're all verticals, sector companies, healthcare and education and construction and those kinds of things. So the startup studio is basically me building my own, and I don't run them. I have someone who runs them. There's criteria for each one. And so they have to have a CEO, they have to have a market share, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I'm doing. And then I'm building those up, and then they'll have their own life. And the way that I view it is it's kind of weird this way, but I view like if this is content is, it's alive, it's an organism. And what does it want to be? Does this content want to be a program, a product? Does it want to be a company? So I consult a lot of people that you would know, that well-known people. They come to me with like, okay, Jeremy, to help me here, what should this be? And I basically help them. I'll meet a couple of times, and I'll give them if they're stuck or they need some direction. I just have a knack for knowing how to create content specifically and how to make it become something significant. So that's what I'm doing. And
That's
I'm just kind of
awesome.
using my skill set. But everything I do is designed to help people become more aware or more alive. So it's very much head, heart, soul, kind of the combination, holistic.
Love it. My wheels are spinning about 90 miles in a minute here. But okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions. You're doing a whole lot. What would you say is the secret sauce to keeping your sanity?
I do this. There's two things I do every single day. I do in the morning. I did this morning. It was so powerful. I did a call-up session every morning. And I remind myself who I am and my identity. And so the call-up this morning was actually kind of it was very spiritual this morning. Sometimes it's just more I tell myself who I am. But this morning it was so profound. And I was like, hey, remind me, God, remind me who I am today. And I just literally leaned in and heard him remind me to tell me who I was again, because identity is like, you have to work on yourself every day. It's almost like evangelize yourself. The idea is I am a liberator. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm a creator. I'm an encourager. That's who you are, Jeremy. Let's go. And so I basically got myself ready by calling myself into the position and the mission I had today. That's number one. The end of the day, I do this thing every day at about 5:30. My watch will go off no matter where I'm at. If I'm usually driving, maybe it's 5:30 to 6:30. I'll do this right before dinner. I do an examine and I just do a review of the day. And it kind of looks like this. What was I grateful for? Number one, who did I meet that I need to tell? Hey, awesome. Good. Thank you. Today was, you know, there might be two or three people. Then I go, where was I off today? Where was I not at peace? And what I do is I catch my emotions so that they don't go on to the next day. And the idea is that I manage my emotions so that other people don't have to manage my emotions. And so I basically say, where was I off today? And an example would be like, why did I, like, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What happened there? So then I analyzed. Well, you stayed up too late. You watched a show that was like you felt slimed. It was like violent and did you really need to do that before bed? No, that wasn't really helpful. You didn't end well, Jeremy. And so therefore you woke up obviously and you didn't do a call-up session and you were, so what are you going to do next time? Well, yeah, next time I'm going to read before I go to bed. I'm going to watch something that's encouraging. I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to watch slime before I go to sleep anymore. It didn't help me. Didn't help me help others. So that was my, like, that's an example of that happened this last week. But that's what I do. So I catch these things. And then sometimes I catch them. They're like tendencies. Like, yep, you know you overshare. You know you, that's a tendency of yours. When does it happen? And I kind of play detective on myself. And then I go, is it me or is it the other person? And most of the time it's me. So then what I do is I get at peace and with myself and I manage my emotions. And then by dinner, I'm free. I'm not thinking about stuff. I'm chill. Kelly and I may go on a walk or we may, you know, have a hot tub conversation, but I'm not having a lot of animosity because I've managed my emotions, where in the past those things would kind of build up and be the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of a thing.
I love it. Thank you so much. Those are two very tactical things that any of us can do. So thank you so much, Jeremy. We've got a lot more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Jeremy Kubitschek on the Something Extra podcast.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Jeremy Kubitschek. And this has been so much fun so far, Jeremy, and there's still so much I want to ask you. But obviously, you've been a student of leadership for your whole entire life and your career. You've been around a lot of leaders. And I know that personally, your goal is to transform leadership by building leaders worth following. Who doesn't want to be a leader worth following? And I know that. You've done that through your speaking, you're doing that through Giant, and then you've written a lot of books, and we don't have time to get into each one of these, but I have a few books. I have the Peace Index, I had the 100X Leader, I have Five Gears, and I have your latest book that we already talked about, The Communication Code. Can you, on those first three, and then we'll dig in a little bit deeper to Communication Code, can you give me just a little snippet, little golden nugget from each of those books?
Yeah, here we go. The 100X Leader, and this is, it's probably my favorite book, honestly. And the reason is that most leadership is jargon. Most of the junk that's out there, it's jargon, and it's about climbership, not leadership. And here's what I mean. When you climb Mount Everest, do you know who the hero of Mount Everest is? It's not the climber, it's the Sherpa. The Sherpa has to climb while helping people climb. That is the definition of leadership. What we do is we break down leadership and make it like so fundamental. So if you want the best example of a leader in the planet, it's a Sherpa on Mount Everest. So that means that you have to be healthy enough, because if you're an asthmatic Sherpa, no one wants to follow you up the mountain.
Right.
And so what we've done is we've created a Sherpa assessment that basically says this, take 1 through 10, how is your performance? Right now, how are you performing? Well, I'm at an 8 out of 10. Okay, good. 1 out of 10, how are you leading? Ooh, I'm a 4 out of 10. Because most people who get in leadership positions get put there because people are afraid of losing them, and they needed to put them in the manager role to give them a little bit extra money so they didn't lose them. But they didn't really want to be leading. They were just a really good performer. They were a really good climber. But a climber is not necessarily a Sherpa. They have to have the mindset. And so if you want to be an amazing leader, then you have to shift to a Sherpa mindset, which means it's not about how many times you make it to the top. It's how many times you help people get to the top. It's a completely different game. And that's what the 100X Leader will do. It will radically change the way you see leadership.
I love that. The Sherpa.
Number two, The Five Gears. Five Gears was one of the first books that, it was the second book I wrote, but one of the first books I wrote with Steve. It is all about how to have balanced productivity. You can be overly productive and under-present. And when you're overly productive and under-present with people, over time, you will erode your influence and you will stop being productive. Your productivity will fall because you'll get into sideways energy called divorce, kids issues, people not liking you, people not following you, or they become compliant, and you need people to be productive. So what happens is we teach people how to be present with people and how to be productive through a sign language. We actually created a sign language with 5 gears. We use the manual stick shift. 5th gear is focus, 4th gear is task, 3rd is social, 2nd is connect, and 1st is recharge. You need every gear every day. So what you do is you figure out which gear you're not good at and you work on it. And you also see what your tendencies are. You're always stuck in 4th and 5th. Highly productive, under present. It's going to kill you long term. So we give you a sign language to learn how to be appropriately present. And when you're present with people, your productivity actually is balanced and it stays very, very high. That's the 5 gears. We good? 3rd?
Yeah, the peace index.
Mm-hmm. The peace index is everybody has a number over their head right now. Right this moment, you have a number over your head. And it's really simple. If you want to find out, instead of asking people, how are you? Because they won't ever tell you, or you don't never know. And sometimes we don't want to actually know.
Right.
But if you actually understand there's a number over the head, there's 5 P's. There's purpose, people, place, personal health, and provision. If you add up 1 through 100 and score and rank each one. So my purpose right now, I'm at a 92. That's subjective, but I'm at a 92. My people, they're a good 90. My place is at like a 95 right now. My personal health, pretty good. I'm at an 87. And provision, I'm investing in a lot of our companies, and I haven't raised any money, so I'm doing it personally. So my provision is, I'm a little stretched right now, so I'm ready for some inflow on some of these activities. So it's probably at 80, not bad, but just not as high as it's been. There's always something off, right? Mm-hmm. So what you do is you then add them up, come up with your score, and what you do is you find out which one is your driver and which one's your lowest. And it's a tool. Everything we've created are assessments, life hacks, tools that you use and you put on. If you want to be a great leader it's not about learning 20 books. It's actually learning tools, and the tools can change the game. And all three of those books have tools in them that will change the way you lead.
I love all of them. You did the Peace Index on me the first time that we met.
That's right. Yeah.
But here's the thing, Jeremy, too. Realize you have a Peace Index. You have a number over your head, but your people have a number over their head, too.
That's right.
And I think that awareness of your people and the people that you're interacting with. The thing with the five gears that really resonated with me, because the five gears, you may be in a different gear than I'm in. And sometimes I think not having the awareness of that really can be what causes conflict and consternation and disappointment and these kind of things. Last week, we were at the CIO Orby Awards, which is a great, very high level, one of the most coveted awards that a CIO could win. And I was talking to the CIO of a major healthcare organization afterwards, and he said something that I will not forget. He said, and I'm sure he maybe listened. I don't think he coined this. I think he listened to something. Mm-hmm. But he said that this person had said, a good question to ask ourselves is, what is it like to be on the other side of you? Mm-hmm. Isn't it a great question?
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, if you do not have a self-awareness of the gears and what other people and their Peace Index, boy, it could be really not fun to be on the other side of you.
Absolutely. So, and all of our tools are designed around relational intelligence, because that's the era we're moving into. The relationally intelligent person wins in the new era, because you have Gen Z, you have all the millennials, and they're so relationally connected. They want authenticity. And if they sniff out anything, then they become compliant, like in a very fickle manner. So you have to be real and true. And so therefore, you have to know who you're talking to, know others to lead others. And if you understand who you're speaking with and understand their tendencies, which is what we've done in the communication code, we basically created a simple system that will unlock relationships and give you an opportunity to communicate more effectively.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect segue, because I want you to talk about the communication code. I read the story, I think a LinkedIn post that you had done about the impetus for the communication code. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll move into something extra.
Yeah. So the simple concept on this, again, for those listening, is like everyone communicates, right? And communication is transmission. Transmission is I'm transmitting something to you, but a transmission has expectations attached to it. And an expectation has a code word. And if you figure out what the code word is, it's like the Enigma code. You can unlock their expectation and you can either meet it or not. Most communication is not met. The expectations aren't met, which creates drama. Walls come up. God, they did it again. You know them. You know Jeremy. He's dot, dot, dot. So what happened was Steve and I were having, I was having a conversation with him after I sold a strategic partnership. And I was super excited. I wanted to celebrate with him. So my expectation was, hey, dude, I can't wait to connect. I've got some good news. That was the code word, right? So I get to the restaurant, and I start sharing how we closed the deal. It was different than we agreed to. It was a different type of, but it was still actually better than what we had agreed to, and Steve and I. And so, but what I was wanting was celebration. What I got was, why did you do it that way? That's not what we thought we agreed to. He was collaborating, but it was showing up as critique. And so it was like water on this fire of that I was wanting celebration. Well, then I realized, like, I got mad really quick, because that's what I'd naturally experienced from Steve every single time. When I wanted to celebrate something, he would find something to critique and find something that could be better, thinking he was collaborating. But it was, so we blew up, I blew up. And he couldn't figure out why I blew up. And I go, I just want to celebrate. He goes, well, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, why didn't you figure it out? It was obvious. But it wasn't to him. And we sat down and we actually created 5 code words. At that table at Jack and Alice in London, we found what the code words were that people had and needed or had tied to expectations. So the code words are celebrate, care, clarify, collaborate, or critique. And how it works was simply this. Hey, Lisa, I've got big news. I've got some ideas here I want to float by you. I want you to collaborate with me, but I really need you to clarify first. Would you do the work to clarify and make sure that you know what I'm saying? I'm now giving you my expectations. I want to play and collaborate because I value you, but I need to know that you know what I'm talking about first. Because if you start collaborating on something that's not what I'm talking about, we're wasting time and now I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've handed you the code. If you'll just follow it, our relationship goes up, our communication goes up. Now we actually end with great collaboration. That was awesome. But here's what happens in most cases. No one thinks to share the code, but they have one. So then if let's say I want care and then to maybe celebrate, but I really just want care. I just need you to listen, but I don't tell you that. So I come to you, hey, Lisa, I need to talk to you about some things. And I start sharing and all of a sudden you start collaborating or critiquing. I get defended, but I never tell you. I pull away and then you're like, what's up with him? Man, he's sensitive today. When I was like, no, I just had an expectation, but I didn't tell you what it was.
So powerful. So powerful, Jeremy. My goodness. This is one of these things where it would work in business. It would work in friendship. It would work marriage. In your family and marriage. Oh my goodness. It's so powerful. Well, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for our listeners to dig in more on that. But I have to ask you this. This is called Something Extra, Jeremy. What do you believe? Is this something extra? Or I'll give you a few that every leader needs.
Yeah. So if something extra that every leader needs is they need to do the work of knowing their identity, of who they really, really are at the core. It's spiritual. It's mental. When you know who you really are, and then you see and understand your superpowers, then your identity, your superpowers, then you show up and you bring life to people. But when people are insecure, they don't know who they are, then they usually bring a lot of drama to a lot of people. So knowing yourself, who you are, your identity, and know your superpowers does everyone a lot of good.
That's so good. Well, this is not going to be the last time that we meet. I am so thrilled that you made the time. I feel like I'm coming away richer just having this conversation with you. And I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you too, Jeremy. I applaud you for everything you're doing and may God continue to bless the work of your hands.
Thank you, Lisa. Sure appreciate you. Wish you a great day. Thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.